it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Caroline Fenton from Stillman & Company. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. It is an early start to your day, but we appreciate you you coming on with us. So, Caroline, what has stood out to you throughout Titans training camp so far? And we spent a lot of time this hour talking about the rookies, so we'll just start with a couple of those. In particular, Treylon Burks and Roger McCreary. What in particular stood out to you about those two guys?
Roger McCreary is a bad, bad man. And that was somebody who I heard from, you know, people who cover Auburn and covered him very closely, that he was the steal of the draft, and I know he has short arms, and I know he's not the tallest one out there, but I promise you, he makes up for it. And that was something that I kind of rolled my eyes at, like, yeah, short arm, short guy, I'll believe it when I see it. And I was talking to somebody who covers Auburn, and he said that Roger McCreary plays bigger than his size. And I didn't really understand what that meant until I saw Roger McCreary, especially in practice yesterday, when he had 5 pass breakups against the likes of Treylon Burks and against the likes of Nick Westbrook-Akina. I mean, his vertical jump is high, and he's able to just get in front of the ball way more than you would ever expect someone of his size. I mean, wherever the ball is, he is. So he's been so fun to watch, and I think that he has absolutely emerged as at least my early favorite in terms of the rookies. But Treylon Burks, I mean, talk about somebody who has quickly and swiftly shut all the haters up, starting with the first day in camp with that diving catch. And Treylon Burks has been, and Roger McCreary both, they've been incredibly consistent. And, you know, Treylon Burks, I think that at least the majority of my concerns about him have been lifted. And I will always say, I'll take it day by day, especially with him, with somebody who's been inconsistent before training camp. But Treylon Burks absolutely has emerged as somebody who, you know, he is probably a lot to learn just being a rookie, but the talent, the sheer talent, is there, and we've been able to see it in camp. Those two guys are really fun to watch. I think Chigga Okonkwo was another one that I think has a lot to learn. I think the blocking is a concern. I mean, we look at in Anthony Firkser, and that was the number one complaint of Titans fans and Titans media alike, is Anthony Firkser just can't block. And that's probably a concern of mine with Chigga Okonkwo, but I think also with the sheer talent there, while he has some ways to go, Chigga Okonkwo is also another very, very talented player that I think is going to emerge as a Tannehill favorite target here in the near future.
Well, Caroline, we got to see a lot of Malik Willis yesterday and Logan Woodside, but obviously there's a lot of focus on Malik Willis and his progress. What have you thought of him? What did you think of him yesterday, and what have you thought of him overall so far in camp?
It hasn't been great with Malik Willis, I'm not going to lie. You know, he had a nice little throw to Terry Godwin in practice yesterday, but that was really the kind of only positive that I was able to take away from Malik Willis yesterday. It was a bad throw to Treylon Burks. He almost got intercepted. He gets really timid under pressure. I think overall it looks out there that he just doesn't really have a great command under center. He doesn't have a great command of what he's doing. But also, I want to, you know, remind everyone that I don't think any of us thought that Malik Willis was going to be a polished, finished practice going into camp or even throughout his entire first season. He was a third-round pick. He was a quarterback at Liberty that executed one-word play calls in a college conference that doesn't see a ton of competition. So it's understandable that he's going to have some growing pains and he's going to have a learning curve. And it's going to be a tough first year for Malik Willis, honestly, for him to just understand the playbook and for him to get confident under center going up against NFL caliber defensive linemen. It's going to take time. It doesn't mean that he's a bust. It doesn't mean that the Titans made a mistake taking a risk. And John Robinson even said it, called taking Malik Willis a risk. It's exactly what it was, because it's high reward. You know, if he works out, then great. You have your future franchise quarterback that you got in the third round. But if it doesn't work out, if Malik Willis can't get a grasp on this playbook or can't develop into an NFL quarterback, which based off of what I've seen, I don't want to, you know, go crazy here and, you know, put a label on him for the rest of his career after just a few days in practice. I don't see him necessarily developing into a future Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Maybe he proves me wrong, but if he doesn't, that's okay. He was a third round pick, and he at this point is a learning piece and a depth piece.
Caroline Fenton on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Caroline, we got into this discussion yesterday morning, and it became very heated. And I want to get your thoughts on it as well.
Boy.
Who is the better college football program right now, Tennessee or Kentucky?
Okay, so this is a fun conversation, because I think we have to define the word program. I think when you hear program, you might think, okay, better team or better brand. I think program is an overarching umbrella term to bring in, you know, reputation and how good of a team you have or have had over the last few years, your brand. I think it encompasses everything. And the Kentucky argument has been, well, Kentucky's been a better team over the past 5 years, which is true. Kentucky has a better record than Tennessee over the past 5 years. But also, let's not forget that Tennessee has Kentucky's number. And even when Kentucky had a 10-win season last year, Tennessee still beat them head-to-head. And I think that all wins and losses are not created equally. I look at a Kentucky team that was able to get 10 wins last year, but let's keep in mind that they were able to beat a Florida team that also fired their coach at the end of the season, also an LSU team that fired their coach at the end of the season. So while they had great wins on their schedule, those were against traditional powerhouse teams that were in a down year. I say overall a better program is Tennessee. Tennessee has a better brand. I think that if I have to predict the next 5 years, I think that Tennessee will have a better next 5 years, because I believe in what Josh Heupel has at least done in his first year. I understand he went 7-6. Like, let's not go crazy. Let's not go overboard here. I'm going to have to see it in year two. But I think that Hendon Hooker is, you know, currently has better Heisman odds than Will Levis. You know, take that however you will. Will Levis is a hell of a quarterback. So is Hendon Hooker. Mark Stoops is a hell of a recruiter and a hell of a coach. I think at this point, Josh Heupel has shown us that he is as well. And pair that with the brand of Tennessee, I think overall Tennessee is a better program. But we talked to Trevor Maddich yesterday, and he said, you know, really when it comes to the thought of being a better program, the only thing that matters is with recruits. And I stand by that wholeheartedly. You know, you can be a great program, but if recruits don't want to go to your school, then you're not going to be set up for success in the future. So I think when it comes down to it, what do recruits think? And when it comes down to it, you know, who's going to be able to put together the better NIL packages? And at the end of the day, who wins more games? That was Kentucky last year, but I think in the next few years it'll be Tennessee. So I say Tennessee, but it's an interesting argument. It's an interesting discussion.
I'm glad we finally have somebody with some sense in this discussion. Well, thank you, Caroline.
Okay, so I've thought about this. I think that there's two words that I said it yesterday, but I think I can say it more clearly now. Two words matter here. What's the better program right now? Because I still think a program is we saw Jeremy Pruitt's program. We saw Butch Jones's program. It is the coach's program. Would you guys agree or no?
No, it's football program.
Well, if you can only do the everything taken into account, history, resources, all these things, if it's only one thing, then fine. I mean, no one's going to argue that, you know, that Kentucky has more to offer than Tennessee. But when people say who has a better program, I say, okay, who's coaching? What have they done? I mean, so right now, Kentucky has a better program. I'm sorry. I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. Somebody with some sense.
Under Joe Rex Rhodes, you know, classifications, yes. If you look at coach and what they've done, then, yeah, Kentucky would have a better program because Mark Stoops has been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I also look at who is set up for more success in the future. You can really make an argument either way because we really don't know. But I think at this point, I think Tennessee fans feel a whole heck of a lot better about their future now than they did maybe 2 years ago.
Caroline, last thing for you here. As you look at the SEC this year, obviously a lot of people think it's going to be Alabama and Georgia and then everyone else. Who do you think is the biggest challenger to Alabama and Georgia in the SEC this year?
Ooh, this is interesting. It's hard to not say Texas A&M since Texas A&M beat Alabama last year. But also Texas A&M has a good bit of question marks. They haven't named a starting quarterback. They lost the anchor of their offensive line in Kenyon Green to the NFL draft this past year. I'm still probably going to stand by Texas A&M, and that feels like the really easy answer. I look at coaching. I look at teams who have been able to do it before. They have a great recruiting class coming in. A lot of people want to say Tennessee, but Tennessee, I'll believe it when I see it. Let's get ahead of ourselves. It's only Josh Heupel in year two. I think they could potentially be a 9 or 10-win team, but I don't think that's going to be enough to give Georgia and Alabama a run for their money. So I go with Texas A&M, but I think the real, true statement there is it's Georgia and it's Alabama and the rest of the SEC is just going to be kind of a bleep show this year. We're all just trying to figure out what this SEC looks like in 2022. So I go Texas A&M, but I don't feel good about it.
Caroline, great stuff as always. Appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Appreciate y'all. Joe, you sound thinner already.
Yes. Well, that's funny. I was just going to ask you. I looked at the text line this morning, and there's texts from your show yesterday that are all about my waistline. I'm like, what's going on?
Weight loss journey.
I assume you guys were just giving me a vote of confidence.
I was. Jared was not, to say that lightly.
What did he say?
I gave you a 60% chance to lose 50 pounds in 5 months, which
that's pretty good.
60% more than Jared gave you.
Wait, what? He gave me what? 0%?
Zero.
Yeah, he gave you a 0%. Yep, that is correct.
I am, you know what? I'm.
This is the motivation you needed.
Fuel the fire.
That's right. He is my Max Kellerman. I am his Tom Brady.
That's right. Caroline, thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can catch her every day here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game from 2 to 6 alongside Jared Stillman. We'll react to what Caroline had to say. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And the tweet, and I think I saw him and Chad Withrow go back and forth with each other on it, but Brandon Walker's original tweet was, quote, "The other day I opined that Kentucky football currently is a better program than Tennessee football. In the days since, Tennessee fans have not handled it well. The last 5 years, Kentucky is 40-23. Tennessee is 27-33. I want to apologize to UT fans. Kentucky has a much better program." This is coming from Brandon Walker on Twitter. So obviously that has led to a lot of discussion and a lot of debate about the state of the Kentucky football program and the state of the Tennessee football program as well. What do you make of all this, Rex Road? Does the University of Kentucky currently have a better football program than Tennessee?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, it does.
This is such a ridiculous statement. That was our discussion yesterday here on the program. Got a little spicy yesterday. Lots of strong opinions on this on the text line, one way or the other. Basically, the text line, as we were talking about this yesterday, was half of the people calling me an idiot and the other half calling you an idiot. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
The text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Which is awesome. But again, the problem is everyone isn't having the same argument. I mean, we can agree on that, right? I mean, that tweet from the guy who started this, clearly he's looking at just basically recent performance.
Right.
Which again, to me, is that it's not just that it's whatever the record is, but it's that is Stoops. That's Mark Stoops. That's his program. That's what he's done. He's built something. And, you go through, if you want to go through head-to-head, again, to me, I don't think as a Tennessee fan I'm touting anything Jeremy Pruitt did. It's just.
Well, that's fine, but he still beat them. I don't want to tout anything Jeremy Pruitt did, but he still beat Kentucky.
He's gone.
So I understand all that.
He's gone in shame.
To me, it's like.
The Hamburglar has left the building.
Look, this conversation really boils down to, how are you defining program? I think that's what we've determined the last 2 days. How are you defining program? Pete on the text line says it's definitely the coach's program, otherwise the coach wouldn't matter. I'm not saying the coach doesn't matter. Like, the coach is part of the program. But the program is the whole thing, the whole operation. That's the – and look, to that point, and Caroline brought up recruiting, I think it's even more of a factor now what I'm talking about, because I think the coach is getting ready to matter less and less when it comes to recruiting. And I think we're seeing it right now with NIL. Like, the coach still matters. The system still matters. All that stuff still matters. But you can't tell me that NIL is not a big deal right now in terms of recruiting. So the coach is less and less a part of that as it comes to the program and landing recruits. So, you know, Caroline brought up, you know, Trevor Maddich yesterday talking about, well, which program do recruits want to go to? Well, a lot of that is NIL driven right now, especially with the top guys. And you're going to tell me that doesn't matter in a program? I think it matters.
It does matter. I look at a Texas. That's an interesting – that'd be an interesting program to throw into this, because now and before, Texas was, by all accounts, just reeling in the recruits, right? But coach, you know, they haven't gotten the coaching. So I agree with you. The coach who is the great program, who is, you know, like, oh, just an incredible recruiter, you know. Nick Saban in the living room is just amazing. Now it's going to be more like, just, you know, what are you doing with your talent? Are you at a place that
Jimbo's got to go restock that fund?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that said, to now, what Stoops has done at Kentucky, tremendous. It, you know, it's overachieving by far their profile. I would agree with you that if you can only judge this by everything, then okay. Well, then there's no reason to have even a discussion about it, really. But the argument that was put out by that guy, Brandon Walker, is viewing it like, who's in charge and what are they doing? Right now, what is your program?
Right.
You know, like Nebraska, that's a great point on the text line. Great historical program. You could still put them up with history, tradition, I guess resources, yes. You know, they're in a bad spot with recruiting is a big problem. But still. Like, you put Nebraska among the greatest programs ever, but right now, if you say, who's better program, Nebraska or, you know, pick all kinds of schools, and you'd say, you couldn't say
Army.
Nebraska. Yeah, Army. Nebraska Army, I think, had a really good game a couple years ago. No, that was Oklahoma. You know, so there's an example of a program that still, by in theory, and I guess some people would look at Tennessee the same way. I don't, because Tennessee still has all the things in place to succeed. They just have to do it. Nebraska has fallen behind. Unofficial visits that's killed them. The recruiting calendar changing has killed them.
Moving to the Big Ten hadn't been great either.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I think that it's more the I think that a lot of the stuff that's happened to them would have happened to them in the Big 12 too. Maybe not. I mean, they recruited Texas a lot more than they tried to recruit the Midwest more. But it is. It's an argument that it depends on which way you want to have the argument. So I think we're all both idiots is really what the point is, or neither, whichever you prefer.
Dave in Big Rock on the text line says, are you guys adopting the PTI model now? How is this even a debate? It's the Kentucky Wildcats football team, Skip Rex Road, in all capital letters.
But, I look at it, I consider it the program. When someone says, I mean, all the time, it's like, man, what a great job building that program, right? Your program, you as a coach, and you're right about recruiting, and I think it's a really interesting thing moving forward, what that means for how coaches are evaluated. I think it is going to enhance. I know that there's actually like a recruiting coordinators conference this week in Nashville, and these people who are putting together recruiting classes, who are essentially acting as personnel departments like the NFL, as general managers, they are, to me, of increasing importance. I should be of increasing resources to them, not just the NIL money, not just like the collective money, but the people who are out there doing all this stuff, right? So you de-emphasize some of what a coach does, but it's still the coach from the top down. It's your strength program. It's your hiring all your assistants. It's how you're doing things on a daily basis. And some people are really good at it. And I think that Josh Heupel in Tennessee may be a better program soon, because the larger picture of the program is better. But right now, Kentucky's program is better.
JC,
coming back to it.
Listen, the fact that we're even having this conversation as a Kentucky football fan is mind-blowing. right? Like
yeah, that's
6 years.
Kind of the point.
6 years ago. No, but people are on both sides. Do you know what I mean? And so that's all I want to say. You know, the fact that this is a discussion. Kentucky was like in Vanderbilt's caliber 6 years ago.
Someone brought up Vanderbilt.
Speaking of that, JC of Gillisville on the text line says, can we get it on record when James Franklin was against Dooley or Butch Jones and beating Tennessee? I think he was just against – was he there all that long against Butch?
No.
I guess a year or two.
Derek Mason beat Butch. He beat him twice?
Franklin was there for 1 year against Butch, wasn't he?
That might be right.
I think once.
The last year. Yeah. His last and Butch's first.
Can we get it on record when James Franklin was against Dooley or Jones and beating UT that Vanderbilt was the better program? It's coming from JC from Gillisville.
There you go.
Yeah, see, now there's a – so that's a little bit of a stretch because, you know, it's a three-year
– Is it?
It's a three-year tenure.
Okay.
24 and 15. Now, I don't know what did Tennessee go in those 3 years?
Oh, I don't know.
And they may not have gone – they may not have gone as well as Tennessee, but that to me is – that's too small of a sample size. And also, it's just – there's just a – I mean, Kentucky actually does invest. I mean, I think Kentucky's facilities – now, the stadium is certainly not – I mean, it's around the bottom of the SEC.
Kroger Field, baby.
Yeah, the blue light special. But yeah. I think their actual facilities, like their data, those are like they've invested, right? I mean,
yeah,
now Vanderbilt is ones. Now. But
yeah.
So I would disagree, JC. But they were better teams in those years. I think with this, though, it's a long period of time of Kentucky finding stability that Tennessee has not had and may yet find soon. And then there's no discussion.
We will just have to see then, fellas.
I guess
we will.
Joe got a text on the text line. Says Joe Rexroad is the best, but should we brace for 5 months of Hangry Joe? I can't believe that Jared gave you a 0% chance to accomplish this weight loss journey.
I am very appreciative of this. This is going to fuel me as I eat celery. Yeah, you know, first of all, I don't really eat. I never eat in the morning anyway. I slug coffee and eat later, so I don't think it'll be a big thing. I don't think I'll be any more hangry or irrational than I normally am.
Well, unless we just get Jared on the show every day. Maybe he'll become a weekly guest.
I'll become hangry
then. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion on Tennessee and Kentucky. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Stands by the fact that he thinks Kentucky is a better program and will be a better program in the next 5 years and has been a program the last 5 years.
Okay, so all I saw was your tweet about the brand.
Yeah.
So I will agree. I think Tennessee's a better brand than Kentucky.
I don't think that's a hot take.
More people will watch a University of Tennessee football game across the country than will watch a Kentucky football game across the country. That I firmly believe. But I don't disagree with his take either. Like, I don't disagree with the fact that Kentucky's been a better program than Tennessee.
We've got Joe Rexroad and Jared Stillman on the same team, which is exactly where Rexroad loves to be here on this program.
Can I change my answer? Just
no,
kidding.
You can't.
Make sure you don't miss 102.5 The Game's 1 hour Big Machine Music City Grand Prix pre-race special today from 6 to 7 p.m. presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on Tennessee and Kentucky on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, LD from McBenville pointing out rightly that the blue light special is a Kmart thing, not a Kroger thing.
Yes, that's my mistake, such my mistake that I just have blurt out exclamations in the middle of whatever may be happening. So, apologies.
Glenn on the text line says, Kentucky doesn't get the credit for beating Florida because they fire their head coach, but Florida beat Tennessee. What does that say about Tennessee from last year? Talking about Glenn. So Caroline brought up, Kentucky took down Florida last year, took down LSU, two programs that have been historically very good that fired their coaches last year. Florida did beat Tennessee last year.
That brings up one of my favorite mathematical formulas in the world, the transitive property of football.
Oh, yes.
Such a wonderful thing. Like, most of the people arguing on either side of this are like fans of one or the other, right?
Well, yeah.
If you reject, as you do, the idea that the current people in charge of a program define the program, like right now. Again, the words right now. If you reject that, then there, we have no argument. I don't reject that. That's how I look at it. I look at his program, her program. You know, this is like, okay, Tennessee women's basketball. Historically, it's the best program. Historically, it's the best sports program in the state of Tennessee. I mean, it's better, and I think that's clear. Although football has a much longer history, you talk about the success, you know, percentage of success in the time of existence. I mean, it's ridiculous. But right now, that program is not that. The program is Kelly Harper's program. Trying to, by the way, I think they're going to be very good this year. But you know, so it's not Pat Summitt's program. It always will be. So if you go historically, it's still Tennessee and UConn, but like South Carolina is a much better program than Tennessee. Is that not true right now?
It is. I'm just saying program is not just – program is an overarching word. It does include right now, but it includes more than just the coach.
Why can't it be multiple things? Why can't it be program right now or program overall?
I guess it can, but if you're – that's what I would like about, it to be. The original tweet was about a football program. Well, to me, a football program is way more than just a coach. It's the entire program. It's self-defined in the word, program.
Right.
What it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's just the coach. It's everything that's going on under the coach. Like, it's everything that's going on with the program with current management, right?
Yeah.
So you could take – so to me, even if you just don't say right now, but if you don't say – historically, then that's how I think about it. I think about it in terms of, okay, who's coaching, who's running this program, and what have you done? Let's compare what you've done. It's hard. I mean, look, Heupel is 1-0 against Stoops. That is worth mentioning. He did beat him in his only try. I mean, Michelle doesn't like that one. But it's also like he's just started. It's almost like you can't even compare programs right now because it's been 1 year. A promising year for Josh Heupel. But it's been 1 year. Stoops actually has a program that you can attribute to him, and we know what it is. Still kind of trying to figure it out what it is with Heupel.
By the way, we're all wrong in this discussion because it's program, as we've established many times here on the show.
Right.
A lot of program talk the last couple of days. It's program.
Program.
That's what we do on this program.
Who says program the best? I think Chris Lowe might say it the best.
Chris Lowe's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you can about his program.
There's a scope of SEC coaches that say it pretty well. Like, I'm sure, you know, Brian Kelly has probably adopted the word program at this point down at LSU. If not, it's coming soon.
Well, see, but he'll probably be like, I'll say my program, and it's like, you're an imposter, Coach Kelly. That's one of those nuances you got to pick up if you're BK.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make sure you figure that out. I mean, so okay. I think we've stretched this conversation out about as far as we could stretch it. So I ask you this. Moving forward, first off, I think it's a credit to Kentucky that they've been able to keep Mark Stoops. Because if you had asked me this question 2-3 years ago, I probably would have guessed that by 2022 he would have been gone and would have taken a bigger job. So with that in mind, that he's still there, and I guess, I mean, for all intents, if he hadn't left yet, my guess is he's probably going to stay there. What can they continue to be and or maybe improve on as they move forward here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like I said, I think that they've gotten competitive. If Kyle Tucker, who is a friend of the show, athletic coworker, and also someone who listens quite a bit based on his text to me, I was listening. I'd like to get his thoughts on their facilities. But, I mean, they're pretty good, right?
Yeah, they recently redid them when I was in school there, so – maybe 17 or 18, I think they're redone. Yeah, they're really nice. I've never seen – I'm sure Tennessee's are nicer, bigger.
I mean, they have the Peyton Manning room. It's hard
beat that at all. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they're nice. They're brand new pretty much.
Yeah. I think over time you can change the definition. I mean, this happens. I'll tell you, like in my lifetime, and if you're not of a certain age, you don't – this would be foreign to you, but like – my childhood, Wisconsin was as big a joke in college football as anyone you want to name right now. They were awful.
Dog water.
They were absolute cheeks, and they had no hope. And Barry Alvarez and his program completely changed things, completely to the point now where they are consistently, I mean, I think they're a top 25 program overall program, top 25 program in the country, period. They've got everything you need. They're not Ohio State, but they are way beyond what you ever would have guessed. And, you know, we'll see. Will they at some point, they have won the Big Ten before. You know, they've won the Rose Bowl. They haven't got in the playoff era. They haven't got, but they, like, they are light years beyond what you ever would have guessed, right, in the 80s. And so could a Kentucky, I think Stoops, the job he's done, I think of like Alvarez. I think of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. Can he get it to a high level? I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. I also just think it's like the league you're in is, it's just so hard in this league to get to the point where like Georgia and Alabama are. Because
right.
That's what, I mean, it's, that's what Tennessee's trying to do. And it's very difficult, and it's going to be very difficult for Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the job that he's done, and, you know, recruiting has gone pretty well for Mark Stoops. Does NIL change that? How competitive can they be with NIL? You know, they did lose some to Tennessee because of NIL, basically, over this past recruiting season. So how much does that continue to factor in? And then there's, you know, what you brought up yesterday, like the investment level in football. They have investment in football in Kentucky, but obviously they're still a basketball school. So how much do, when NIL starts to get involved and you've got businesses and boosters and all this stuff, how much are you going for basketball? How much are you going for football? How much money is there to go around? That's the question from the NIL standpoint of it at Kentucky, I think.
Yeah, the booster mindset there is, you know, it's hoops, right? In some places, they don't even realize they have a basketball program. You know, I'm sure at Alabama, it's like the opposite. You know, now, by the way, pretty good program right now in basketball for Alabama.
Yeah.
Not overall, but right now, pretty good program.
Phil on the text line says, in all capital letters, trash programs, throw them both away. So both terrible.
Who are you a fan of, Phil?
I don't know.
But, and some of you on the text line,
it's a big tenor.
Pete and others, yes, that was me saying, oh, crap, on the mic, yes. And I said that because whoever texted in and said it's Kmart and it's not Kroger. I can't believe I blew that. And then I said, oh, crap, during a commercial. Sorry.
I'm just happy that's what it was and not something else.
It could have been a whole lot worse. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Paul Kaharsky at 8 o'clock as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
I'm here with my family. I'm here with my family.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. We do this every morning at 7:45. Brian Kelly bringing us back in. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
That's always good on this program.
It is.
To hear that sweet voice of Brian Kelly. Speaking of Brian Kelly, not really speaking of Brian Kelly. He's a coach. I'd like to talk about another coach today, Brian Flores, and the whole situation with the Miami Dolphins. For those who didn't see, the NFL crushed the Dolphins yesterday for tampering. Both Tom Brady and Sean Payton, one of their two first-round picks has gone for the Dolphins. Third-round pick in 2024. Owner Stephen Ross fined $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended until October 17th. So
I'll show him.
Nice. Six games and a million and a half for the owner of the Miami Dolphins. And the really interesting part of this independent investigation led by former U.S. attorney Mary Jo White, which, according to Roger Goodell, said the tampering violations that were of, quote, unprecedented scope and severity. The most interesting part here is the thing that was the most interesting part from the start, which is Flores saying that Stephen Ross offered him $100,000 to lose games, to tank. So in this investigation, the NFL looked into it, and I'm reading an ESPN.com story that said, quote, it found Ross made a number of comments to multiple people in the organization, including Flores, that the 2020 draft should take priority over winning in 2019, end quote. As for the offer of $100,000 per game, quote, the investigation, quote, found differing recollections about the wording, timing, and context, but such a comment was not intended or taken to be a serious offer, nor was the subject pursued in any respect by Mr. Ross or anyone else at the club, end quote. So in other words,
yeah, he said it.
Yeah, you want $100,000 for a loss? Just kidding. I was kidding. Come on. I
just wanted to see what your reaction was. Calm down.
Of course that was a joke. Yeah, this is it's been quite a week for the NFL, and really, I really want to say is just between this and, again, finding a way to take it easy on an owner. I understand. Essentially, you work for the owners. I get it, but it's so transparent. It's so obvious. I mean, Daniel Snyder's out on his tugboat somewhere. Probably should be, you know, incarcerated. And we have, of course, Deshaun Watson, Sue L. Robinson somehow. Now, this is not Roger Goodell. This is not the NFL. But somehow making the judgment that sexual assault can be nonviolent? Like, huh? How could there be a nonviolent sexual assault? How could that exist in the world? And this is the independent arbiter that they've chosen. Meanwhile, the NFL did all of talking to four of the women involved to get ready for this thing, which kind of does look like a league that says, man, this is a really good player. He's going to be really important. And, I mean, maybe it's kind of like it wouldn't be great if he had a huge penalty. But, hey, let's go ahead and appeal and make it look like we're the heroes now.
Right.
That's what I expect today. The NFL is absolutely the height of hypocrisy once again and forever and ever. Amen.
It's been a very interesting week for the NFL. I did see this yesterday, and it did make me laugh. The fact that basically this Dolphins stuff started over Belichick texting the wrong Brian is amazing to me. And the fact that it's eventually...
Or if he meant to. Some people think that.
Well, yeah. Because now... And I can't remember who tweeted this. I need to go back and find it. But basically the tweet was, so Belichick starts this whole thing with tweeting or texting the wrong Brian, and now his division rival has lost a first-round pick. Chess, not checkers.
Interesting, yes. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. So maybe Belichick knew which Brian he was texting after all. Who knows?
I do want to believe that. And actually, if that is true, then I don't care if Belichick wins another game. He's the GOAT.
He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that
I retract my statement from the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if he actually meant to do this, absolute GOAT. Yeah, I don't think he did, and I think it's still like one of the most hilarious miscues ever. Like,
hey,
in sports,
Brian,
history.
Congrats on
all
the
right,
job.
Brian!
Oh, way to go, Brian. Oh, wait, sorry.
You're my guy, Bri.
Wrong Brian.
No.
Texted the wrong Brian.
I don't
Brian.
Think you have ever called me Bri, so that didn't happen. That's my made-up little fictional part of it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting here with Watson. I have not seen news, but I believe the deadline is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow at 9 appeal? O'clock. 9 o'clock yeah. Eastern time, so 8 o'clock our time.
So I expect that to happen, but again, what's the outcome going to be based on all the information, based on the report by Sue L. Robinson? Like, what are you realistically going to change this to? You know, Deshaun Watson's going to play this year.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing anything otherwise. And it's just really disappointing. a confirmed sexual predator gets less punishment than, not apples to apples, but less punishment than a lot of different people who did way less than this.
Well, the interesting part about this dolphin story, beyond just the Stephen Ross part of it, is we talked about Brady's role in this and, like, I guess joining the team as a player slash owner. And everybody just kind of assumed, at least this is the way I recollect it, that those conversations took place while he was a member of the Bucks. It was while he was with the Patriots. Like, he was still under contract with the Patriots that the Dolphins were talking with us about Brady. So apparently they've been eyeing Brady for a while down there in Miami.
Well, I mean, after so many, like, decades of, like, there's no chance to ever beat them, like, the only hope is getting Brady.
Yeah. So that's why Belichick did it. That's why he sent the text.
Maybe so. The puzzle pieces are coming together.
Hey, all right, Brian. Good job, buddy. Oh, wrong. Oh my gosh. Oh, I am so sorry. Me and texting.
Yeah.
It's like unfrozen caveman lawyer. I don't understand your fancy televisions. That's Belichick. A reference. That was on the same time period as Toonce is the Driving Cat. Speaking of,
do we think Toots has gotten more love on our show than anywhere else in America?
Anywhere,
30 years.
I mean, it was a great segment. It should get more love. And I found a T-shirt. Actually, I think I'm going to try to buy it. I found a T-shirt online. I think it was at Super 70 Sports has a Toots's T-shirt. Yeah. So I'm either going to buy that for me or for Jared.
Hey,
XXL XXXL.
I don't know which.
I'm talking about myself.
All right, got a. I have to read this statement that Roger Goodell put out there on this matter yesterday. Quote, every club is expected to make a good faith effort to win every game. The integrity of the game and public confidence in professional football demand no less. An owner or senior executive must understand the weight that his or her words carry and the risk that a comment will be taken seriously and acted upon, even if that is not the intent or expectation, even if made in jest and not intended to be taken seriously. Comments suggesting the draft position is more important than winning can be misunderstood and carry with them an unnecessary potential risk to the integrity of the game. The comments made by Mr. Ross did not affect Coach Flores' commitment to win, and the Dolphins competed to win every game. Coach Flores is to be commended for not allowing any comment about the relative importance of draft position to affect his commitment to win throughout the season.
Basically,
brilliant statement from Roger Goodell.
Yeah, basically Stephen Ross was like the owner of the Cleveland Indians in Major League.
Yeah.
Just like, in a box, dare you, Rooney. Flores.
Yes. Sorry. You won. My goodness, what's going on?
I was kidding, man. I was just kidding. And by the way, the integrity of the game, go to Calvin Ridley, things like that.
Yeah.
I understand the importance. But look at how much more that is valued over, women.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
What a league.
On that front. This week, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com and Outkick 360 as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase